5:11, if you would stand. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. But what we are is known to God, and our hope is known also to your conscience. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast about outward appearance and not about what is in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live may no longer live for themselves, but for him who died, but for him, for their sake, died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh. We regard him no longer. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Amen. Boom! Amen. Lord, have mercy. Yeah. For a title, Motives for Service. Motives for service. As you know, Paul had people that were dogging his trail, Brother Ernest. He would go teach a church. He was at Corinth, in Corinth, I think, for 18 months. And that was paramount to me being married to this girl for 25 years. He had people to come behind him to say, well, you need this, this, and this to be saved, and this Paul, this teacher you got, he's this, this, and this. And but listen, they know Paul, and they know of Paul because he's been with them. But they begin to listen to somebody who's a Johnny come lately that I use John for, and that's amazing. Do we have that same situation today? Yes, we do. Well, I do. I'll say it like that. Amen, amen, amen. Paul's motive for doing what he did, no matter what nobody says, was out of reverence and love for God. As you notice, he wasn't a rich guy. He didn't have the palatial mansion. He didn't have the mega church on the side where he would preach every 3 weeks and then he'd be off another 3 weeks. He didn't have that. He was a guy who actually, now, God told Ananias in the book of Acts, after he come down off the horse and he got scales on his eyes, go put your hands on this man. And then Ananias said, wait a minute, you better check your record, God. This guy has been doing all kind of stuff to the church. Don't you know that? And God said to Ananias, he said, don't you worry about that, because I have called him to be an apostle or a messenger to the Gentiles. I want you to go tell him what he's got to suffer for my name's sake. Now, he'd been beaten with rods, left for dead outside the city, let down on the back wall of a city to keep somebody from killing him, and he never stopped preaching the word. You can try to kill me if you want to, but I'm not going to stop preaching, because my motive is not wrapped up in money. It's not wrapped up in somebody pat me on the back and say, boy, you sure did a good job. That's not it. I want to hear him say, servant, well done. So they come and say, Paul is not legitimate. And he said, wait a minute, y'all. Why do I have to try to tell you who I am? You should already know who I am. I've been with you I taught you for 18 months here. You saw, and it's interesting because Paul, wherever he went, he was always working with his hands. He was a tent maker. And the reason he did what he did, so he wouldn't burden the people that he was ministering to. So you can't say I was here for the money. I was working. So you come in and let these fancy guys tell you something that you should already know. Listen, Trinity, you've been taught the truth. Don't let nobody come in and tell you nothing but the truth. That's why the pastor and I kind of agonize when the sermons come up. Boy, we got to get this thing right. I want to straight on the money. I don't want to be off to the right. I don't want to be off to the left. Because if I am, I have to hear it from God. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 through 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 1 through 2. 1 and 2. You all, why are you going there? We have so many voices out there that are wrong. Are you able to discern why and how they're wrong? If you don't study your Bible and the Spirit of God does not activate your mind, you won't even know because they're slick. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Read it for me.
2 Corinthians 4:1-2. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word, but by the open statement of the truth, we will commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God.
Interesting. Amen. Interesting. John MacArthur said, he said he was lambasted by somebody for preaching the gospel, and that one that talked about him bad was in the ministry himself. If you know anything about John MacArthur, he's always on the line. He's kind of rough, but he's always on the line. And he said, now, because I'm always on the line, somebody who has a different motive don't like that. Because if you're always on the line, there's no room to wiggle around. The only thing you really got to do is God's will that he told you to do. Sometimes there's no money in it. There's no glory in it. But there's no wiggle room around that, because God puts you where he wants you to be. And if you need some money, he's the supplier of money. And if you're in Christ, I'm going to tell you, it's his glory that's important to you, not your own glory. I don't have no Rolls Royces picking me up at the door, but that's all right. I don't want nobody to ask me, how many roses you got? I got a couple out in the garage. I don't really care. Is God satisfied with you? Paul says in verse 13. He says, if we are beside ourselves, that could be translated or crazy. That's all right. It's something about preaching the gospel, about talking about a Savior, God who came down in the form of human, all God, all man, lived a life. He says, foxes have holes, and everybody else got a home, but I don't have a home. He do all of that, and then he die. Not only do he die, he rise up again. Something about that make people think you crazy. What in the world are you talking about? First Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10 and 13. First Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10 and 13. That love keeps me on course. If you look at, I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul actually says to the church, you got all these gifts, you're doing all of this work, but something's amiss with the whole situation. And then he goes on into chapter 13, and he says, let me show you a more excellent way. Mm-hmm. See, if we're operating inside the devoid of the love of God, something's askew in the whole situation. When I preach, if I don't have the love of God, then something's askew in the preaching. I preach without compassion. I preach as though you ought to know better, and I really should know better too. I involve you, but I don't involve myself, because the love of God is absent from my preaching. It says that the love of God is there. It keeps me on course, and I don't have to wiggle, because the love of God is my guiding force. Yeah. Is my rudder.
Yeah.
That's why when I come up on a situation and the love of God lives in me, I can live like it's living in me.
Well,
amen.
Go to Romans chapter 6, verse 12 through 14. I'm dead again, man. I can't make all my hand motions. Now I'm in trouble. Romans chapter 6, verse 12 through 14. Not only does it control me, but listen, what happens in the love of God is that the selfishness that was a problem in my life is now abated. By that I mean I now have a new emphasis in my life. It ain't Billy no more. It is Ernest. How does this thing help Ernest out?
How does my lifestyle and the way I live, does it help Ernest out? I heard somebody say, well, that's on them. If you in the Christian life now, you cannot just be concerned about you. You got to be concerned about the body. If I'm a kidney, how in the world can I shut down? Because if I shut down, somebody gonna get hurt.
What was that? Romans chapter 6. Somebody read that for me. Verse 12 through 14. My motive and the love that lives in my life, where my members used to be committed to sin alone. Since love now lives in me and my motive is correct to please the Lord, then I'm not connected anymore to my sin the way I was before. And the reason being, because I've been saved, number one. I've been set free, number two, to not have to obey the lust of my former life. Paul says, I no longer judge anybody by the flesh anymore. And the reason I don't judge anybody by the flesh no more, because I've been set free. I've been set free. And I once judged Jesus Christ, he said, according to the flesh. But I don't judge him according to the flesh anymore, because now I've been saved and set free. Now I can look on this side and see the real deal. See, I can see now that Alan is being transformed. The ministry of sanctification is actually working in his life. To whereas before, if I looked at him, I say, I knew you wasn't no Christian. Look and see what you did. I knew you wasn't a Christian. But now I can look at Alan and say, God is working in Alan because he's really working in me. He's no longer a slave to his old passions anymore, according to the scriptures. He's now free to serve Jesus Christ with a proper motive. Verse 17 says, now, in light of all of this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. What the heck does that mean? New creation, excuse me, is different from the old creation. Interesting. What I used to be, I'm not that no more, because I'm in Christ. If I'm in Christ, I'm a new creature. If my boss used to kick me and I used to cuss him out at the drop of a hat, that's out of the way now. And now, since I'm a new creation, I don't have to do that no more. If I was prejudiced against Arabs before Christ and Christ come to save me, I can deal with Arabs like they belong, like they potentially belong to Christ. New creature. That's what you are. That's what you better be. Says the new has come. He says, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. It is interesting that God would put all this mighty power, all this information into some clay vessels, some clay jars, some fragile clay jars,
that mess up and get off the stand and mess up and get to the side, and he put his message in clay jars. Paul says he's given us this ministry of reconciliation. Not only he reconciled us to God, he's now given Paul the ministry of reconciliation. That's my motive, is to get you back to God. Now my question is, how seriously do we take that ministry of reconciliation? If he sent us on a mission to give somebody life by the word, by the gospel, how serious are we about that? It says in verse 20, we are ambassadors. Ambassadors. Ambassador, as I said before, if you're an American, you're an ambassador, and you go to Chinese soil, China, wherever you set foot and wherever you establish that, that's just like being in the United States. Paul says now we are ambassadors to Christ. We are areas where Christ rules. We are sections where the kingdom of God reigns. You are ambassadors for Christ. Wherever you are a miniature kingdom of heaven. You are ambassadors. Are you really ambassadors? I had to ask myself that question this week. How good of a representative am I for God? And it's amazing God makes an appeal through some messed up vessels like us. He makes an appeal for us to go tell somebody and give the gospel, and he uses messed up people, I'll say like me. Amazing. Verse 21, this is mind-blowing. For our sake. Let me say that again. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin. That means that a sinless Son of God came down, took on our sin issue, beat it on the cross, and then we get to enjoy his righteousness. Your sin was imputed to Christ, and then his righteousness was imputed to your account. Y'all not catching that. Because number one, if that's the case, then God sees you as all right now. Christ died so that you can be all right in the sight of God. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 7. Excuse me. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 7. Somebody read that for me. Sister McCauley. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 7. Yes, ma'am. Everybody there? Okay.
But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us.
This belongs to you. It's in you now. Go tell somebody about the love of Christ and how he can save anybody. These jars of clay, that extends out to you. It was given to Paul, but then it's actually given to us also, because we now become ambassadors now for Christ. Therefore, we need to get out and tell somebody about the ability of God to save anybody. Period. Period.
I'm through. Motive, to glorify God. Secondly, you're a vessel to be used by God. Number three, you are to be concerned about somebody else other than yourself. Because if your motive is service, then you should fit that criteria. Amen. Amen. Brother Phil.